If you keep telling yourself you're inconsistent, your brain will find proof that it's true. In this episode, I'm showing you why toned arms are not built by trying harder, but by creating new evidence that you are a woman who follows through. You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, arm coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes. Hey everyone, welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 114. What is going on today? What are you guys doing? What are you guys thinking about? And let me ask you something a little nosy. Are you still telling yourself your arms just won't change? Because today we need to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention. And listen, it should. If you want to change your arms or any habit connected to your body, you need new evidence to support new beliefs. And yes, this matters way more than most women realize, because a lot of women say they want toned arms, but underneath that, they are still carrying around beliefs like, my body doesn't respond anymore. I'm too old for this. I never stick with anything. I can be good for a few days, but then I fall off. And then they wonder why they keep stopping. Because your brain is always looking for proof of what you already believe. Always. And that little drama queen in your head is constantly scanning the room, your life, your past, your habits, looking for evidence that your current story is true. So if your belief is, I never follow through, your brain will pull up every abandoned workout plan, every unused dumbbell set in the corner, every Monday you started fresh, and every Friday you were face first in disappointment. It will build a whole case against you. But if your belief becomes, I am becoming a woman who follows through, your brain starts looking for different proof. It starts to notice that you did your 12-minute workout even when you didn't feel like it. It notices that you drank your water before coffee. It'll notice that you put on the sleeveless top at home instead of hiding in the oversized t-shirt again. It'll notice that you kept one promise to yourself instead of breaking 10. That's how this works. Your brain will always gather evidence to support the identity that you keep feeding it. So if you keep feeding it thoughts like, my arms are hopeless, I've tried everything, nothing works for me, then congratulations, your brain will act like a loyal little intern and go find proof. It'll show you your age. It'll show you your loose skin. It'll show you slower progress. It'll show you every reason to stay exactly where you are. But that doesn't mean it's telling the truth. It means it's doing its job. And this is where women get stuck, because they think they need to feel confident before they believe change is possible. And no, you build belief by collecting evidence, tiny evidence, boring evidence, unsexy evidence. Evidence like, I worked out even though I was tired. I stopped making my age the villain. I made dinner at home instead of eating like someone who had fully given up on herself. I kept going after an off day instead of turning one missed workout into a full identity crisis. That is evidence. And once you start gathering that kind of proof, your beliefs begin to shift. You know, not because you've hypnotized yourself in the mirror, it's because you started acting like a woman who respects herself, and that is different. So when women say things like, I could never be consistent, I'm just not disciplined, I've never been the kind of person who sticks with fitness, I'm like, maybe that has been your evidence so far, but that doesn't have to be your evidence forever. Because the story can change, but only when you give your brain something new to work with. I always think of thoughts, like glasses that you're not even realizing you're wearing. You know that phrase, rose-colored glasses? When someone's wearing them, everything looks prettier, softer, more flattering than it really is. Your beliefs work the exact same way. Whatever thought you keep repeating becomes the lens through which you interpret everything. So if a woman believes it's harder to tone your arms at my age, she starts seeing proof of that everywhere. She notices slower progress. She compares herself to younger women. She fixates on loose skin. And she uses one hard week as proof that nothing is working. That thought becomes the filter. And the wild part is once your brain grabs onto that filter, it gets real committed to backing it up. Same thing with thoughts like everyone struggles with their arms after 50. It's normal to let yourself go a little at this age. I've never been consistent, so why would this time be different? Put those glasses on and suddenly your whole world starts confirming them. You see women hiding in cardigans. You hear friends joke about getting older like it's some kind of sentence. You remember every plan you quit and conveniently forget every time you did follow through. That is why your thoughts feel so true. Women will say, I know mindset matters, but this just feels real for me. Of course it does. It feels real because your brain has been building a full case for it. Your brain loves efficiency. It doesn't want to burn energy questioning the story. It wants to keep recycling the same familiar thoughts because familiar feels safe, even when it's making you miserable. This is the part that we don't talk about enough. It takes effort to challenge a belief you've been rehearsing for years. It takes intention to say, maybe this isn't the truth. Maybe this is just a well-practiced thought. And listen, that is where so many women lose themselves. They don't even realize they are living inside beliefs they never consciously chose. They inherited them from diet culture, from aging culture, from women around them who gave up and called it normal, right? From years of disappointing themselves and deciding that disappointment must just be their personality. No, just because a thought is familiar doesn't mean it's wise. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's useful. And just because a lot of women believe it doesn't mean you need to keep dragging it around like some crusty old handbag. You get to question the lens. You get to ask, what am I seeing because it's true? And what am I seeing because I've trained my brain to look for it? This is exactly why mindset matters so much. You cannot change a habit you keep defending with the same old thoughts. That is why I teach the think, feel, act cycle, because it lets you catch the thought, see what it's creating, and decide whether you want to keep living under its influence. A thought like, it's normal to let my arms go at this age. Let's look at it. How do you feel when you think that? Probably resigned, defeated, maybe a little numb. And then how do you act when you feel that way? You stop trying. You skip the workout. You throw on a big shirt. You tell yourself it doesn't matter while secretly feeling bad that it does. That's the cycle. And once you see that, you get to ask a very grown woman question. Is this thought helping me become the woman I want to be? Not, is this a common thought? Not, do other women think this too? Not, can I justify it? Just, is it helping me? because some thoughts are familiar, but they are not useful. Some thoughts feel protective, but they are actually keeping you stuck in the exact life you say that you want to outgrow. Thought work is being willing to hold your thoughts up to the light instead of blindly obeying them. To look at a sentence in your mind and say, well, look who's been running the show. I'm too old. I never stay consistent. I don't have what it takes. I'll always have to hide my arms. Those are thoughts, not commands, not prophecy, and not your personality, just sentences. And you get to inspect them. You get to notice what they create in your emotions, your behavior, and in your results. You get to decide whether they belong in the life that you're trying to build. But here's where it gets a little spicy. It is not enough to simply notice a thought. You have to be willing to challenge it. And even more than that, you have to be willing to create evidence against it. That is the part most women avoid. They say they want a new belief, but they don't want to do anything that would require them to prove the old one wrong. Because proving the old one wrong feels deeply uncomfortable. If your brain believes, I can never stick with a routine, then showing up consistently for 1 week feels threatening. If your brain believes my arms are too far gone, then picking up weights anyway feels almost offensive. And if your brain believes women my age just have to accept it, then acting like change is possible feels weird, exposed, maybe even ridiculous. And that is normal. Your brain will scream, don't do that. That is not who we are. Of course it will, because your brain is attached to certainty, even when that certainty is making you live small. So the work becomes this. Can you be willing to be wrong about yourself? Can you be willing to test a new reality before you fully believe it? Can you do the workout before you feel like the kind of woman who follows through? Can you wear the tank top before your arms look how you want? Can you stop acting like one missed day means the whole thing is ruined? Because that is how new evidence gets built, okay? In motion. And yes, this part is scary because when your brain says something is impossible, what it usually means is not that you will actually die. It means you might feel embarrassed. You might feel disappointed, awkward. You might feel exposed or vulnerable. That is the terrible danger your brain is trying to save you from, a feeling. That's it. And a lot of women have spent years organizing their entire lives around avoiding a feeling, avoiding the discomfort of starting, avoiding the vulnerability of trying again, avoiding the sting of not being instantly good at something, avoiding the truth that their old standards are the problem. But avoiding those feelings is exactly what keeps them stuck in the same results. So I've said this before, and it's still one of the most telling things about human behavior. Most people will rearrange their entire life before they question a single thought. They will change their hair, buy bigger clothes, start over on Monday for the 47th time, sign up for a new program, blame hormones, blame age, blame their schedule, blame summer, blame winter, blame the fact that Mercury is apparently in a bad mood. But ask them to question a belief like, I'm just not the kind of woman who follows through. and suddenly everybody clutches their pearls. That's just who I am. That's just how I think. I can't help it. Really? Because that thought right there may be the very thing keeping you stuck. And here is the rude little truth that no one wants to hear. That thing making you feel bad, it's not just your arms. It is what you keep making your arms mean, right? It's the story, the interpretation, the running commentary in your head every time you get dressed, every time you catch your reflection, skip a workout, or promise yourself that you'll be better tomorrow. That is where the heaviness comes from. Women love to believe, if I could just change this one outside thing, I'd finally feel better. If I lose the weight, if my arms tighten up, if I buy better clothes, if I fix my hair, if life slows down, if I could just be more motivated. And listen, some of those things may give you a temporary lift. Of course they do. A fresh haircut can perk you up. A cute outfit can give you a little strut. Seeing definition in your arms feels amazing. But if the thoughts underneath don't change, the relief never lasts. And you know this. You get the thing you wanted. You feel better for a minute. And then the same dissatisfaction sneaks in wearing different shoes. So that is why so many women are exhausted. They keep trying to change their circumstances while dragging around the same identity. They keep trying to build a new life with an old self-concept. That will wear you out every single time. Because if your core thought is still, I always fall off, then even progress feels shaky. If your core thought is, my best years are behind me, then even good results feel temporary. And if your core thought is, I should have this figured out by now, then every setback, it feels humiliating. So no, the answer is not endlessly changing the outside while protecting the same stale beliefs on the inside. That's just a hamster wheel in cute leggings. The real shift happens when you become willing to question your own mind, to admit maybe you've been rehearsing thoughts that aren't helping you. Maybe you've been treating old emotional conclusions like facts. Maybe you've been so loyal to your limitations that you have mistaken them for your identity. That is the work. Being willing to say, maybe I've been wrong about myself. Maybe I'm not lazy. Maybe I'm not doomed to inconsistency. Maybe I don't need more punishment. Maybe I need a better standard. Maybe I need to stop outsourcing my confidence to future results. That kind of honesty, it changes everything. And part of building that new belief is a lot less glamorous than people want it to be. It's repeated exposure, meaning you do the new thing again and again until your brain stops acting like it's a threat. You keep showing up. You keep following through. You keep proving that discomfort is survivable. You keep letting the new identity become more familiar than the old one. That's how change starts to feel real. Not because you had one magical breakthrough moment, because you stopped worshiping your old thoughts and started giving your brain a new normal. Yes, this version of stronger because is powerful. I've lived this. I remember the first wedding I went to without drinking, and I was a mess before I even got there. Sitting on the plane, I was thinking, I cannot do this. I seriously considered not going at all because I was so convinced it would be awkward and miserable and one giant reminder that I didn't know how to have fun without alcohol. And then there was the dance floor. Oh, getting out there sober felt like so unnatural to me. My brain was basically screaming, what are you doing? We don't do this without a drink in our hand. I felt stiff. I felt exposed. I felt weird, certainly not graceful, not carefree, just painfully aware of myself. But I did it anyway. And when it was over, I had something I didn't have before. Evidence. I survived. I was uncomfortable. Yes. I was awkward for a minute. Yes. But I didn't die. The night wasn't a disaster, and the world didn't collapse because I showed up differently. And that matters, because the next time I had that evidence to lean on, I could tell my brain, you were dramatic last time too, and we were fine. Then I did it again and again. And little by little, what once felt impossible started to feel normal, then easier, then actually fun. That is exactly how this works for your arms too, right? The first time you wear the sleeveless top, you might feel awkward, right? The first time you do the workout after breaking your trust for years, it might feel awkward. The first time you stop using age as your excuse, your brain might act like you've joined a cult. Fine, let it. Because the goal is not to feel natural on day one. The goal is to gather evidence, evidence that you can show up even when it feels uncomfortable, evidence that you can keep a promise even when your brain says, oh, this is not who we are, evidence that maybe the woman that you want to become is built by doing the very things that feel unfamiliar right now. That wedding taught me something I'll never forget. Your brain will call a lot of things impossible when they are actually just new. And if you keep showing up, what once felt unbearable can become the most normal thing in the world. I have used these exact same tools in my business too. And let me tell you, they work there just as well, because building anything new requires the same thing your arm goals require: a willingness to be wrong, a willingness to feel uncomfortable, and a willingness to keep showing up while your brain is being outrageously dramatic. So two of the biggest places this showed up for me were my voice and how I looked in photos. So let's start with voice, because wow, how many of you hate hearing your voice played back? Be honest. For the longest time, I thought my voice sounded weird on recordings, which, you know, is a little funny now considering I talk into a microphone for a living. But back then, hearing myself played back felt offensive. I'd hear it and think, oh no, is that really what I sound like? It felt tinny and unfamiliar and just wrong. And there's a reason for that, right? When you hear yourself talking in real life, you're not hearing your voice the same way other people hear it. You're hearing it through your own body too, your chest, your skull, your whole internal setup changes the sound. And it comes across fuller and deeper to you. A recording doesn't do that. A recording gives you the version everyone else has been hearing all along, which is rude, honestly. So most people hear a recording and immediately decide, absolutely not. I could never do a podcast. I sound terrible. That was the thought. But here's what changed it: repeated exposure. Once I started podcasting, I had to hear my voice over and over and over again, not once a year on a voicemail greeting, right? Constantly. And because I kept listening instead of running away from it, it stopped feeling shocking. It just became normal, then familiar, then just my voice. Nothing magical happened. I just created new evidence. I proved to myself that hearing my voice on playback was not a crisis. It was just new. The same thing happened with photos. I used to be so critical of how I looked in them. I think a lot of women do this. They see one photo and immediately turn it into a character assassination. Like, oh, my arms look awful. Oh, my smile is so weird. Oh, I look old. Delete it. We can make one image mean everything. Not that it is one angle, not that it is one frozen second, not that maybe we are being wildly harsh. No, we make it mean something about our worth, our body, our age, our desirability, our value. And again, what changes it? Repeated exposure, new evidence, being willing to stop treating your first reaction like the final truth. The more I was in photos, the more I saw that not every picture had to be perfect for me to be okay. Not every recording had to sound how I imagined for me to keep going. And not every uncomfortable moment meant I should stop. So that is the lesson. If I had kept clinging to, oh, my voice sounds weird, I wouldn't have a podcast. If I had kept clinging to, I hate how I look in photos, I wouldn't have 340,000 followers on Instagram. If you keep clinging to, I can't stay consistent, my arms won't change, or this is just how I am, you will keep creating a life that matches those thoughts. That is why you have to be willing to be wrong. Because sometimes the thing that you're calling truth is just a thought that you have repeated so many times, it started wearing a name tag. And the only way to break that spell is to keep showing up long enough to gather different proof. And this is the part that I really want you to get. Exposure is not working against you. It is working for you. The more often I heard my voice on recordings, the less strange it sounded. At first, I was absolutely not, that can't be me. Then after enough repetition, my brain basically went, well, I guess this is us. That is what familiarity does. And the same thing happened with photos. I was brutal about pictures of myself for years. In college, my best friend got to the point where she didn't even want to show me the photos after they were developed because she already knew what was coming. Back in the film days, we would pick up the prints, flip through them, and I would immediately start with, why do I look like that? Oh my God, throw that one. I look terrible. Just completely normal and healthy behavior, obviously. I had such a strong belief that I looked bad in photos that I could barely look at them without making it mean something. But there is actually a reason so many of us do this. We are used to seeing ourselves in mirrors all the time. That is our most familiar image. Every day, over and over, we see the mirror version of our face and body. So that becomes the version our brain registers as, but photos are not mirrored. So when you see yourself in a picture, your brain notices that something looks off, not because you suddenly became hideous in a split second. Calm down. That's not it. It looks off because it's different from the version you're most used to seeing. That's it. And because your brain prefers what feels familiar, it often mistakes unfamiliar for bad. And that is such an important distinction. Unfamiliar does not mean unattractive. Unfamiliar does not mean wrong. It just means new. Once I started my business, I had to be in more photos, more videos, more promotional stuff. More moments where I had to look at myself without immediately spiraling into critique. And the more I saw myself, the less dramatic it became. I stopped reacting like every photo was a personal attack. I stopped acting like one awkward angle meant I was doomed. I just got more used to the real image of me, not just the mirrored one that I had decided was acceptable. And over time, my reactions softened, not because I became perfect, but because I became familiar. And that matters so much for your ARM journey too. A lot of women think their discomfort means that something is wrong. They think, I feel awkward lifting weights, so maybe this isn't for me. I feel exposed in a tank top, so maybe I should wait. I feel weird taking progress photos, so I must not be ready. No, you just aren't used to seeing yourself as a woman who shows up, a woman who takes up space, a woman who stops hiding, a woman who collects proof instead of criticism. That version of you may look unfamiliar at first, but keep looking, because the more exposure you get to her, the more normal she becomes. And eventually the woman who once felt off becomes the woman who feels like home. So here's the real problem. Most women don't actually want new evidence. They want their old beliefs to be right. They are deeply attached to thoughts like, my arms are too far gone. I never stay consistent. I look terrible in tank tops. I'm just not the kind of woman who follows through. And even when those thoughts are making them miserable, they still cling to them like they're protecting something valuable. Now, why? Because the brain loves being right more than it loves being free. It would rather repeat a painful story that feels familiar than test a new one that feels uncertain. So even when there is zero upside to believing, I'll always quit, your brain goes, yes, but we have years of evidence for it, so let's keep that one. I mean, it's convenient and wildly unhelpful. This is why repeated exposure matters so much. Not because one brave moment changes your life overnight, because every time you do the new thing, you give your brain a chance to collect different proof. But that only happens if you're willing to stop worshiping your old evidence. I see this all the time with clients. They say they want toned arms, right? They say they want to trust themselves. They say they're done hiding. But underneath that, they are still fiercely loyal to the identity of the woman who struggles. So they keep rehearsing the same lines. It's too hard. It takes too long. I always feel off. I can do it for a few days, but then life happens. And because they keep thinking that way, they keep creating the exact results that match it. I had a version of this come up with a client around urges, to quit, urges to avoid, urges to go back to what's comfortable. So many women believe discomfort lasts forever. They think, if I want to skip the workout, that feeling is going to torture me unless I give in. If I feel deprived, I have to fix it immediately. If I don't do what feels good right now, this whole thing is going to be miserable. One of my clients basically realized she didn't fully believe that discomfort would pass on its own. And of course she didn't believe it. She had never stayed with the feeling long enough to watch it pass. She would feel resistance and start telling herself how awful it was, how hard it was, how she wasn't in the mood. And then she would quit, skip the workout, drop the plan, back out of the promise. So naturally, her brain had no evidence that the feeling would settle down. All it had evidence for was, this is unbearable unless we escape it. So can you see how sneaky that is? The belief looked true only because she kept obeying it. But once she started doing this work, she changed the experiment. Instead of treating discomfort like an emergency, she let it be there. She let herself want to quit without immediately quitting. She let herself feel resistance without making it mean she was doing something wrong. She stayed in the moment long enough to notice something huge. The urge passed, sometimes fast, sometimes slower, but it passed. And that changed everything because now, instead of thinking, I can't handle this, she had proof. I've felt this before and it moved. I've wanted to quit before and kept going. I've been uncomfortable before and it didn't last forever. That is how self-trust is built, not by never feeling resistance, by learning that resistance is not the boss. So that is the skill. You have to be willing to question the thoughts that make hiding feel smart. You have to be willing to challenge the beliefs that make quitting feel justified. You have to be willing to set down all the old evidence your brain keeps waving around like a lawyer in a courtroom, because your brain will absolutely argue for limitation if you let it. It will tell you the workout is not worth it, that your arms are not changing fast enough, that missing a few days means that you're back to square one, that wearing a sleeveless shirt is a bad idea, that you should wait until you feel more confident, more motivated, more ready. No, you do not need more waiting. You need more evidence. Evidence that discomfort passes, evidence that an urge is not an emergency, evidence that you can want to quit and still keep your word, evidence that you can feel exposed, awkward, imperfect, and still act like a woman who respects herself. That is how the old story falls apart. Not because you argued with it once, because you stopped feeding it and started living differently. So here's the real problem. Most women don't actually want new evidence. They want their old beliefs to be right. They are deeply attached to thoughts like, my arms are too far gone. I'll never stay consistent. I look terrible in sleeveless tops. I'm just not the kind of woman who follows through. So this is the work. You have to be willing to loosen your grip on the thoughts your brain has been recycling for years, because your brain is not out here trying to make you powerful. It's trying to make you efficient. It wants to keep believing what it already believes. It wants to keep scanning for proof that your old identity is still the truth. It wants to keep you in the same loop because familiar feels safer than new, even when familiar is the very thing keeping you stuck. That is why you have to be willing to do what your brain says is pointless, uncomfortable, or impossible. You have to do the workout when your brain says, this won't matter. You have to keep going after an off day when your brain says, see, this is why you never change. You have to wear the sleeveless top when your brain says, absolutely not. You have to stop treating every old thought like it came down from heaven on a stone tablet. Otherwise, you will keep living from beliefs you formed years ago, sometimes decades ago. Beliefs you created in a moment of hurt, a moment of embarrassment, a moment of disappointment. And then you just kept proving them true ever since. That's what so many women are doing. Maybe somewhere along the way, you decided, my body is the problem. I'll never be consistent. I'm too old to change. I'm just not disciplined. And since then, your brain has been working overtime to gather proof. But old evidence does not have to become your future. I know that because I lived it. When I was younger, I created the belief that I wasn't fun without a drink in my hand. And for years, I kept collecting proof for it. I kept reinforcing it. I kept acting like it was just who I am until I was willing to challenge it. And until I was willing to question the story, until I was willing to do the very thing my brain insisted would be awful. Until I was willing to get enough exposure to a new way of being that I could finally see, oh, maybe that belief was never truth. Maybe it was just practiced. And once I created new evidence, the belief lost its power. And that is available to you too. Whatever thoughts you have about your arms, your age, your body, your consistency, or your ability to follow through, they are not permanent unless you keep protecting them. You can challenge them. You can create new evidence. You can repeat that process again and again until the woman who once felt impossible becomes the woman you are. That is how this changes. Not in one perfect day, not through motivation and not through punishment, through courage, through repetition, through being willing to be wrong about the version of you that has been keeping herself small. And listen, that is where freedom starts. Ask yourself, what belief about my arms or my ability to change have I been treating like fact? And what new evidence would I need to start collecting to prove something better? So that is your work. And that is how naturally toned women are built. All right, everybody. I love this topic. It's so fascinating to me. If you want to hear me talk about anything on the podcast, if you have specific questions or want to hear me talk about certain issues, just drop me a line at Christine@ChristineRucker.com. Otherwise, I'll see you all next week. Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to sculpted arms together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.